through chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, last week we began looking at the holiday season. Remember that? And we lit the candle of hope. Hope for the coming of the Messiah. And I said last week, that's the reason for the season. We can go and talk about all the different things that go on as far as the reason for the season is, but there's only one reason. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And last week we looked at the birth of Jesus from heaven's view, from heaven's point of view. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 said, "Although he existed as God, possessing the fullness of all divine attributes, the entirety of nature, of deity, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God." And then it goes on to say, he made himself of no reputation. There's Christmas from heaven's point of view. He came in human form. He came and died for our sins because he loves us. And one day we look at the fact that one day he's coming back. Woohoo! Boy, I'm looking for that. There, and that is the reason I can say there is nobody like Jesus. Nobody. So today we lit the candle of peace. And we'll look at a little bit at God's peace. He supplies it without end in the Lord Jesus. He gives us that peace. As the Lord was about to be crucified, his disciples were so afraid, and yet he says to them in John chapter 14, verse 7, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Neither let it be afraid. You know, as Christians, we've been given the peace with God and the peace of God. And that's the reason Paul could say God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline. But you know what? Everybody, I don't care who you are, everybody, no matter how brave you seem to be, we're all afraid of something. Every one of us is afraid of something. I am afraid of heights. I am. I'm afraid of snakes. I've never seen a small snake. I really never have. I don't care if it's that big, it's 150 feet long as far as I'm concerned. Snakes are snakes. And you know what else? I'm afraid of falling. Not so much the actual fall, it's that sudden stop when you hit the ground. That's the thing that really just jars me to no end. But everybody is afraid of something. Whether it's disease, or maybe it's a financial setback, or old age, or gray hair, or no hair. Whether it's rejection, or disappointment, or being forgotten. I mean, even in the Bible, people were stalked by their fears. Abraham lied about Sarah because he was afraid. Jacob was afraid of Esau. Moses feared rejection from the people. Even the disciples feared the storm. Remember when they were in Jesus sound asleep in the back of the boat. And they're just panicked all over the place. And then they come running back, "Jesus, we're sinking." And he goes, "Huh? What? I'm sleeping here. Peace be still." And of course, the winds ceased. But you know what? Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. People are still fearful, even during the Christmas season. That's a time that ought to be joyous and happy and Christ-centered, and we ought to be just excited about everything that's going on here. We fear not having enough money, not meeting other people's expectations. We fear being alone. We just seem to fear all kinds of things. So what we need is a word from our Heavenly Father. We really do. A word from Him who's able to calm our fears and eliminate our worries. God told Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Did you hear that? Do I have to repeat that, or y'all understood that? Can you nod your head? You understood what I was saying there? These are encouraging words, and we're going to see the same kind of encouraging words in our text this morning. Three times the angel of God spoke to those who were in need of hope and of peace and of joy and of love. They were in all kinds of dire circumstances, and yet, to each one of those, the angel spoke these words, "Fear not, fear not." He said it to Mary, or he said it to Joseph. He said it to Mary. He said it to the shepherds. A message of hope and peace and joy and love. So let's look at the angel's message to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And by the way, I'm reading, most of what I'm reading here today is from the King James Version. Now I know we have lots of different versions of people looking, but I sunk my teeth into the fact that I was a King James only. So I understand that. And there's such a majesty about the birth of Jesus from the King James Version of the Bible. So enough said. All right. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, you got to understand what's happening here. Joseph was on his way to having all that a Jewish man could ever ask for in that day. He was about to be married to a pure, righteous Jewish girl. Everything was falling into place for him. I mean, he was just having it all. And then the news came that really shattered his life and brought all of his dreams and all of his hopes crashing to the ground. Mary was pregnant. Oh, yeah, and Joseph wasn't the husband. He wasn't the father. So with his dreams shattered and his hopes gone, and his life just seemed to be over. Because for Joseph, there only appeared to be two solutions to this problem. Number one, he could divorce Mary quietly, send her away until the baby was born. Or number two, he could divorce her publicly and subject her to ridicule and humiliation. I mean, Joseph's life has turned completely upside down. Folks, we've all faced situations like that. Now, maybe not the fact that an angel came to you and said, the girl you're going to marry, maybe not that devastating, but difficult for our world. I mean, things happen in our lives that are very difficult. We thought everything lined up. Everything, we had it all planned out really well. And then all of a sudden, the Lord did something against our plan. And he messed everything up, or so we thought he messed it all up. Someone as well said, just when I thought I had all the answers, God changed the questions. Boy, I know how that feels. But folks, that's simply what life is like under the curse. I mean, that's what it's like. You think back of Job. You listen to what he said. He said, how frail is humanity. How short is life. How full of trouble. Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. Now, here's a man that had suffered the loss of everything. Everything he worked for, everything he loved was gone. His life was a life of trial and trouble. And you know what? In the same way, there are times that come all of us like that. Now, you may not have hit those times yet, but I got news for you. They're coming. You can't avoid them. And you'll either handle them or they'll handle you one way or the other. So you got to understand that. Now, look at verse 20. But while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, as Joseph thought on what he was supposed to do in the situation, the angel of the Lord shows up, tells Joseph he's about to gain far more than he could have ever thought in his life. I imagine he thought about Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise the Lord for that. Joseph finds out he's the only man who has been chosen to raise the Messiah. He's been handpicked by God to provide Jesus with physical and spiritual training. His is a privilege that's unique in all of humanity. Well, what am I saying? Sometimes, you know, the Lord's assignments are costly. when God tells you to do something. But He always pays you back more than what you give out. The privilege of being chosen by God to do anything is a privilege beyond description, folks. He chooses everyday people to carry out His plans. That's the amazing thing about this. Paul told the church at Corinth, "Remember, brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are very powerful." Now look at Joseph's response to God's call, verse 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus." So in spite of the humiliation and the ridicule, he was willing to make the Lord's will his priority in his life. And that's an example we all need to follow, folks. Don't fear God's plans. Don't fear His purposes. Paul said in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, "That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they will produce glory and vastly outweighs them, and they will last forever." Wow. I'm excited about that. Regardless of what comes our way in life, we need to determine that we're going to do what God has called us to do. So the angel of the Lord told Joseph, "Fear not. Fear not." Now let's look at the message that the angel gave to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now I know some of you are just thinking back to that video. Stop. Don't do it anymore. All right? When Gabriel appears to Mary, she's probably only about 14, 15 years old. She's a young girl. She's engaged to Joseph, about to be married. And according to the text, she's a virgin. She's living a righteous life before the Lord. You know, I really like it when life goes the way you plan it to go. You get all your plans together, you make your list. Now, y'all know I'm great on lists. Rochelle always, I tell you this all the time, Rochelle says, go get eggs and bacon, I can go get eggs and bacon. Go get eggs and bacon and bread, I can go get eggs and bacon and bread. But if it gets beyond that, no, put it down, write it on a list, and that's no guarantee either. But anyway, that's a different subject. You know, there are times when everything's going our way. The sun is shining. You get the best parking place at the mall. You know, traffic lights are all green as you're driving down the road. You never hit a red light. You wake up, you don't have any aches. You don't have any pains. You sit down, you write out all your bills, and you close the book, and you look, and you still got money in the bank. Wow, those are wonderful days, aren't they? But they're pretty far and few between, right? There are not very many of them. So when Gabriel makes the announcement to Mary, her life is immediately turned upside down, just like Joseph's was. She's given the greatest honor ever afforded to a woman. But at the same time, it carries a tremendous social stigma. She's called upon to bear shame and reproach and humiliation, but she's called to do it for the glory of God. You see, when our lives don't go as we have planned, it's easy to fear the unknown, isn't it? Don't know what's going to happen the next day. And often God allows things to happen in our lives that are hard to understand. Yet the Lord sends him our way so that we might grow in him, that we might come to know him in a better way. And when these times come, it's easy to question the Lord. Listen to the prophet Habakkuk. I read this and I thought, wow. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you don't listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you don't come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. That sounds like Congress, doesn't it? I mean, goodness, that's all they do nowadays. You see, the secret to surviving the awful times is to learn to trust the Lord completely. Most of us know Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So look at Mary's reply in verse 38. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Despite the shame that was sure to come her way, the humiliation that she would bear, Mary was willing to submit her life to the Lord's will. We get back to that same verse, don't we? I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. And in doing so, she sets an example of obedience and surrender that we all need. We should not fear the hand of God. Regardless of what comes our way, we can rest assured that God's going to use it to get glory for himself, and we're going to be able to learn more about him as a result. I think back in Genesis, Joseph, who was loved by his father, who held a really special place and privilege in the family. Yet God allowed Joseph to be sold by his brothers into slavery. He spent 13 years as a servant or in prison. And however, at the end, God proved that his plan was the right plan. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, as Joseph is talking to his brothers, he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." God knows what he's doing, folks. He really does. So the message of the angel to Joseph was fear not. The message to the angel of the angel to Mary was fear not. Now the message of the angel to the shepherds. Turn to Luke. All right, you're in Mark 1. You're in Matthew 1. Go past Mark to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Now, this is the most famous of the stories of the birth of Jesus. A decree goes out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem. And as I said, that's a gigantic miracle in and of itself because they were from Nazareth. But the scripture had said in Micah 5:2 that the Savior was going to be born in Bethlehem. So they had to get to Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus took care of that for them. So they get there, and of course, there's no room in the inn. So they have to go in the stable. That's where Jesus is born. So are we up to speed right there? Because we're going to pick it up in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. In other words, they were flat scared. They were scared to death. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now here's the third group that the angel says fear not to. Social outcasts. Usually they were vulgar and dirty and smelly and unkempt. You ever been around sheep? Most of you here, you know what a sheep, we saw that already. You know what a sheep is. They were religious outcasts. And because of their jobs being defiled, they weren't even allowed to participate in the ceremonies of the temple. So they're alienated from God and they're alienated from man. If anyone ever needed hope, they did. If anyone ever needed joy, they did. And you know what? That's exactly what they got. These outcast keepers of the lambs are the first to receive the news of the Lamb of God coming into the world. What a privilege for these shepherds. The angel gives them the directions on how to find baby Jesus. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What a blessing for those shepherds to be called to come before the King of Glory. Wow. And you know what? We have the same privilege today. Nothing's changed. We can come before the King of Glory. We can do as we have been commanded to do. We serve the same God as they serve, don't we? God's never changed. He loves the world so much that he gave his son. There's another Christmas verse. We don't consider it a Christmas verse, but it's a Christmas verse. And the real sad tragedy is the only reason that people remain in their sins and won't come to the Lord is exactly what the Lord said in John 8. You will not come to me that you might have life. The Lord stands wanting to give life to everyone. And yet in our rebellion and our saying no to everything that we think is right, we won't have life. So I guess one question is, have you accepted his invitation? Well, let's look at the response of the shepherds. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the shepherds were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Well, after these shepherds meet the baby Jesus, they're changed forever. Something radical happened in their lives. They left that manger spreading the good news, telling everybody they saw. I mean, they didn't miss a soul. Everybody they saw, they were telling them. The Messiah had come, and everybody that heard it marveled. You say, how do you know that? You just read it. When the shepherds first heard the message of the angel, the first reaction was fear. Remember? They were sore afraid. But fear eventually led them to salvation. And folks, so it is with us. You may think that God will not forgive you because of what you've done. You may think that God can't help you in your situation. Because, you know, that was then, this is now. My situation is so totally different than it was then. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest from the physical daily grind. You say, the Lord doesn't know anything about my physical grind. Listen to me. Every single day the Lord was on this earth, he was presented with the fact that he was going to die one day. He knew when he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew what the form of execution was going to be. Every day he went that way. He knew. So he knows how to comfort you and give you rest in your physical burdens. Rest also from the mental burdens of our daily lives. And rest from the spiritual confusion of a world that's gone totally crazy. Totally crazy. I'm so thankful that I read in Jeremiah 31, God said, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. God wants us to rest in his promises. There are so many things around us that cause us to fear. But if we could learn that lesson, the one that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds learned, to trust the Lord no matter what the problem is, no matter what's going on in your life, He can turn your fear to peace. That's what He does. So I want to give you three keys to peace and joy for this season. Here's the first one. Fret not. Fret not. The Lord hears you. He really does. I love Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me break it down for you real easy. It's up on the screen. Do not worry about anything. Talk to God about everything. Thank Him for what you have and ask Him for what you need. There you go. That should take care of everything. Did He leave anything out of there? No. Number two, faint not. Lord's got a hold of you, folks. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, the Lord says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then the third one, fear not. Fear not. The Lord is the one who keeps us. I love Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protection. You can't get any better protection than that. Secret Service couldn't do it, but God can. So if there's fear in your heart today, I got a solution. Bring it to Jesus. Sadness, disappointment, disillusion in your life, bring it to Jesus. Burdens, brokenness, despair, failure, defeat, anything that you want to name, there's a solution. Bring it to Jesus. Whatever is causing you to fear, we need to bring to Jesus. Fear not, He said. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for Your promises to us, not to fear. You've told us through the Apostle Paul that You cause all things to work together for good to those who love You, to those who are the called according to Your purpose. And Lord, I just pray for each person here today. If there's fear, if there's discouragement, whatever the need is this morning, that the Holy Spirit would be able to touch their lives, minister to them, give them the strength that they need to reach out and do what is needed to be done. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for Your love. We just pray that as we give our invitation, if You speak to someone, I pray that they would do what You called them to do. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.